Thank you, worship team, for leading us this morning into worship, declaring the goodness of God, the work of God, the love of God. And we adore him. Children at this time would be dismissed for Children's Church with Mrs. Conklin. I guess I'll call you that. And for everyone else, I would invite you to open a Bible if you have one, or if you have one on a phone, feel free to pull up that on your Bible app on your phone, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to be looking today at verses 12 through 31. As we continue in this series of our identity, we've been talking about, even though every church is called to the same things of loving God, of loving others, neighbor as ourselves, and of being about fulfilling the Great Commission that all churches, all Christians have been given to. Each individual church has its own unique identity and its own unique way based on the people that God has called and is calling and assembling together to be able to live that out. And so we're talking about how it gets fleshed out here at the Dorseyville Alliance Church. And we've said that our purpose, our reason for existing, that the Dorseyville Alliance Church exists to teach people how to encounter whose presence? The presence of... We got to do this. We're going to continue to nail on this. The presence of Christ. That we don't want to just learn about Jesus. We don't want to just learn about God. We don't want to just have Bible studies if it doesn't lead us to know the person and encounter the person of Jesus and be changed more into his image and likeness, then we're not accomplishing what we're called to. Amen. We're called to encounter Jesus and be transformed into his image and likeness. And so through prayer, through worship, through growing, being transformed, that will take place. And then out of that, you don't just keep encounters with Jesus to yourself. You encounter Jesus so that others might encounter him. And so we exist also to equip and to send people out to carry his presence, to carry Christ to the world. And so last week we talked about loving one another, how that looks, that we love each other. By that the world will know that we are his disciples. We love our enemies and many others. And today we are going to talk about the idea of serving. That out of encounters with Jesus, that we are empowered to be able to serve. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through the end of the chapter is where we'll look today. And before we do that, let's just pray. And let's ask that the Spirit of God would lead us into truth this morning. Father, we thank you for the privilege to lift praises to your name, to declare that you are good, to declare that you are great, to declare that you are our loving God who has sent your one and only Son, Jesus, so that by his perfect, finished work on the cross, we might know you, be made right with you, be given hope, be given purpose, that we might be able to encounter that Jesus, the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us. This morning I pray as we would gather around your written word, we believe it is your word. We pray that you might open the eyes of our hearts, that you might give us ears to hear, eyes to see, willingness to respond, grace to obey, that we might be changed and that we might be people who serve. Father, we welcome the Spirit to do that work, to lead us into truth this morning. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. So one of the great conductors, Sir Michael Costa, was conducting an orchestra, and also a chorus, a great chorus had assembled around, and they were in practice for a great performance. And about halfway through the practice session, the trumpets were blaring, the drums were rolling, the violins were singing their rich melody, voices were being lifted high, and in the back of the room there was the little piccolo player. Now, Michelle, you play the flute, right? The piccolo's even smaller, right? You have one? You have one here. Okay, so we're going to do show and tell time for a quick second. All right, so Michelle's going to pull it out. So imagine you have voices raised, you have trumpets blaring, You have violins singing, you have drums rolling, and then the player of this instrument. Could you play us off a little riff real quick or something? All right. Let's give her a hand. Thank you for doing that. So in the midst of all of this noise, the piccolo player playing that little instrument said to himself, "What good am I? No one is going to hear me with all of this noise. I can certainly take a little bit of a time out. Nobody will miss me." So he stopped playing, but he didn't put his instrument down. He kept it to his lips, but he did not play it. And a few measures past where he stopped playing, Sir Michael Costa stopped everything and said, "Stop, stop, 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 stop. Where is the piccolo? Where is the piccolo? I need the piccolo." Talk about an amazing ear. To be able to hear all of that and to notice the small missing piccolo. Sir Michael Costa showed in that moment that there is no person in the midst of the orchestra that is insignificant. There is no instrument too great and no instrument too small, that all of the instruments together playing their part accomplish the beauty of the piece that was written. The same is true for the church. Everyone, even if you feel like you are the smallest or most insignificant part, everyone has a part to play. And if that part is not played, the master of his church, Jesus, knows. He misses it. And the church does not function as it was created to be functioning. See, we are talking today out of the overflow of encounters with Jesus about serving. And when I talk about serving, I'm going to talk specifically about the interaction of believer to believer, of the church together fulfilling the purpose that God has called the church to fulfill. My goal today is to convince you that you play a role that is crucial to the fulfillment of what God wants to do here. That there is no one who can say, "Well, I don't count," or "My part isn't that big," or, you know, "Other people, they play a bigger role." Every single person has a role to play. And today, beginning the process of understanding what that role is so that we might be able to serve together. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there's some basic sermon notes in your bulletin, and I'll put the blanks up as we go. But it begins in verse 12, chapter 12, 1 Corinthians, and says, "The body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body, and so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by, or with, or in, depending on your translation, one Spirit, into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink." As we begin this passage, there's a realization that we come to first, and that is to realize that you are part of something bigger. Realize that you are part of something bigger. Amen. See, Paul compares the church, he compares the family of God to a body. And this body, as a unit, has many parts. And the head of this body is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the one who loved the church and who gave himself for the church. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us this, that Christ is the head of the church. And we are his body on earth. We are the ones who work out what he is doing here for his glory. Talk about a privilege, amen? That we are the body of Christ. He is the head, and we as the church are his body carrying out what he wants to do here on this earth. The many parts together are brought together in unity. We're all brought together, baptized by the same Spirit, into the same Spirit. We are one. whether you like the person next to you that much or not, and I'm speaking husbands and wives, so we'll just leave that there. But whether you like them or not, you are part of the same body. Therefore, we are one and we are connected together. Paul goes to great lengths to say that in Christ there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free. It just doesn't matter whether wherever we come from, whatever background, whatever ethnicity, whatever the color of our skin, whatever the language that we speak, whatever it is, wherever we are, we gather together and we are one in Christ, unified by the Spirit of God. We are part of something bigger. In the West, we focus on individualism. My, me, I. The Bible flies directly in contrast to that. The Bible is not about me and my and I. It is about we and us. When we are in the body of Christ, I am part of something bigger, not something bigger part of me. We get that backwards sometimes because we begin to say, well, that church needs to do something more because I, rather than I am part of it, so how can I be a part? You and I are part of something bigger. It is a we. We're baptized into the same body with Christ at the head, no matter our differences. When people talk about the church, theologians talk about the church, they talk about it in two ways. One, they talk about it as the church universal. In other words, it is all believers in Jesus, no matter what denomination, no matter where they're from, no matter what part of the world, no matter what language they speak, all believers anywhere throughout the world are all part of the church universal. Now, just to give you an idea, we are part of a movement called the Christian Missionary Alliance, in which in Western PA, cut Pennsylvania in half, there are 144 churches. In the United States, there are 2,021 churches. And around the world, there are 18,000 churches. And you and I are one in that whole big group. And that is not even beginning to talk about the Methodists and the Presbyterians and the Catholics. You mean you name it? All those who claim the name of Christ and are following Jesus, we're just this little itty-bitty part, the Christian Missionary Alliance, of this bigger universal church, let alone me and you being one in the midst of 18,000 Christian and Missionary Alliance people all throughout the world. We are part of something bigger. Amen. And there is the church local. That's us. Those who call Dorseyville Alliance Church their church home. Those who are seeking and trying to determine, is Dorseyville Alliance Church going to be my church home? If this is the family of believers that you're saying, this is your local church. And you and I are part of something bigger here as well. There is the church universal of which we are part. It's bigger. And there is the church local of which we are a part. And it is bigger. It's not just about me. It's about us. And Paul's point at the beginning of this passage is that we all, no matter what background we come from, we are brought together in unity under Christ by the work of the Holy Spirit together, and we are part of something bigger. Which means this. If we're missing, it's felt. We are part of something bigger. It gives a different perspective on church, doesn't it? Rather than it's just something that I go to, it is something that I am part of that's bigger than me. We need something bigger than us to keep us humble, to put life in the world in perspective. We are part of something bigger. We are part of the church. As part of the church, secondly, there's a second realization, and that is That even though there is this bigger, transcendent reality of the church that we are part of, even though it is bigger than just one, each person is irreplaceable. Paul continues on in verses 14 through 20, and he says, "Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many." Using the analogy of our physical bodies for the church body, the church family, he says, if the foot should say, "Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body." Now, okay, you got to humor him a little bit here. You have hands and feet talking. The hands say, the foot says, "Hey, because I'm not a hand, I want to be a hand. So because I'm not a hand and I'm just a foot, well, I'm not going to be part of the body." Sounds kind of ridiculous, right? "I do not belong to the body. It would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be?" Okay, rhetorical question. Where would the sense of hearing be? Would it be present? Yes or no? Okay. It would not. "If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? Would there be hearing? Yes or no?" No. "But in fact," or "if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? Would there be sense of smell? Yes or no?" No. These are simple rhetorical questions. Paul doesn't have to answer them. He just says them. We know the answers. "But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be." And that is huge. God arranged hands just the way he wanted them to be. He arranged ears just the way he wanted them to be. He arranged noses and eyes and little toes and big toes and arms. He arranged it all the way he wanted it to be. It's not an accident. Amen. And in the same way, you and your place in the local church is not an accident. You are where God wants you to be. He has created you with a purpose. He has given you a role that only you can fill. You are an irreplaceable part of the body, not because you've decided it, but because God has decided it. He's placed you and he's made you just as he wanted you to be. Verse 19, "If they were all one part, where would the body be? If everyone was just a hand, where would the body be? If everyone was just an eye, where would the body be? If everyone was just an ear or a nose or a mouth or a foot, where would the body be? The body would be limited. As it is, there are many parts, but one body." Verses 21 to 26, Paul continues on in another large section. He says, "The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you.' And the head cannot say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable." Did you hear that? Those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. There is no one who the body can do without. There is no part of a human body that it can do without some limitation. Indispensable. Verse 23, "And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should be equal, should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it." See, Paul is saying that the body, though individual and unique, is interdependent one with another. And we're all connected to each other. You know, and some of the folks that have gone on to be with the Lord in recent months, I think we can all say, if we knew them, or they were just part of the body, that there is a sense of sadness that's there. There's a sense of loss that is there. That there is a reality that when people are around and then they're no longer there, that everyone in some way, shape, or form feels it, right? And in the same way, when someone has a reason to rejoice, we all feel it. We are interdependently connected to one another. When one suffers or one is sad, we feel the suffering and we feel the sadness. When one celebrates and one rejoices, we feel the excitement. We celebrate and we rejoice together. We are not disconnected. We are connected one to another. We are connected to each other. Everyone is needed. No one is replaceable. We all have a role that only we can fulfill, because it's the way God wanted it. Back in the 1980s, in March of 1981, President Ronald Reagan was shot by John Hinckley Jr. And following that shooting that nearly took his life, he was hospitalized for several weeks. And even though Ronald Reagan was the President of the United States, the top executive, the government did not miss a beat. Because there were many other people that could step in and to carry on what he was lacking in that moment. Now, on the other hand, in 1986, shortly after that, the city of Philadelphia had a sanitation workers' strike. And for over a week, garbage piled up on the streets. And it was in the middle of the summer, if I remember right. So you have the heat of Philadelphia with rotting garbage on the streets. You had the stench all over. You had trash that just all over the roads. You had health issues because all of this rotting and decaying, you had rats that were coming and carrying all this disease and all this decaying stuff all over the city of Philadelphia. Talk about a nasty experience. Who's glad I didn't live in Philadelphia? Well, maybe you did live in Philadelphia in 1986. The point is this. The chief executive of the United States, the president, was shot and hospitalized for several weeks, and everything continued to move on. Sanitation workers went on strike for 1 week and the city almost fell apart. The point is this. Even what we may consider to be the least important is critically important. There is no one who has more value. There is no one who is greater. Every single person has a role to play. You are irreplaceable in the body of Christ. No one else can do what God has uniquely created you to do, because you are you, and there's no one else on planet Earth like you. God has prepared good works in advance for you to do. And no one else can do what God has prepared for you to do. As a member of the body of Christ, you are unique, special, and specifically tailored so that the body might function well. You're needed. We all are needed. The health and the well-being of the church is dependent upon each one of us doing our part. Irreplaceable. I asked Joe Wolkowitz if he'd help me out with something. So, Joe, if you'd come up on the stage for a second. I want to show you what happens if you don't. You already thought of it from the perspective of the sanitation workers. But Joe was and is, maybe if you want to just come right on there so everybody can see. Joe was and is a good athlete. So there we go. All right, so everybody give him a round of applause. You can sign him up later so that the Steelers have another receiver. All right. Now, oh, just so we can show that it wasn't luck, do it again. All right. Now, here's what I want you to do, Joe. I want you to take your right arm, and I want you to pull up your right leg.
Okay.
Okay? Now, okay, I'll slow it down a little bit. Slow it down a little bit.
I'm old now.
I'm going to see if you can you catch it. All right. Hey, that was pretty good. That was pretty good. Now, he did it, right? He functioned, but was it easy for him? Joe, was it easy for you? No. No. All right. Now, you think he can do better?
Sure.
Here's what I want you to do, Joe. I want you to take both arms, and I want you to get both arms on that foot. Grab that foot with both arms. Okay?
I don't know if I can stand.
All right. Now, I want you to catch it. Oh, you cheated. All right, try it again, try it again. All right, see, now that is improvising right there. All right, that might have been reflex, too. All right. Oh, all right, can't help it. All right, so you see, let's give Joe a round of applause. Thank you. All right, so Joe was able to catch that pass with no problem when all of his body was available. When he lacked one leg and he lacked one arm, he was still able to catch it, but it was more and more challenging. He was able to work. But when he lacked both arms and one leg, can't do it. This is a visual picture for us. Think garbage workers in Philadelphia. Think Joe trying to catch a football with one leg and no arms, no hands. This is a visual picture if we think, I am not really needed. Each and every one of us is irreplaceable in the body of Christ. Amen. And when we're all functioning, it's easy under the empowerment of the Spirit. But when we're not functioning, it becomes difficult, if not impossible, to fulfill what God has called us to do and to be. Each one of us are not here by accident. God has called you to Dorseyville Alliance Church, where you're seeking whether this is the place for you. If it is, you're here for a purpose, to play a role that no one else can play. Paul finishes the passage in verses 27 through 31 with this encouragement to do what we're gifted to do. Do what we're gifted to do. Verse 27, he starts with this declaration. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Think about that. He is saying this. Each one of you together as parts are together the body of Christ. Each one of you as individual parts are together the body of Christ. What an amazing reality. What an amazing identity. What an amazing calling we have been given to be the body of Christ. Not if you think maybe it'll work out. He is making a declarative statement. You are the body of Christ. Can we just say that together? Have a little response. Say, we are the body of Christ. Say it again, because sometimes I know I need to say things a couple times before it penetrates. We are the body of Christ. One more time. Let's say it like we really believe it. We are the body of Christ. Because He has said so. And He has made us to be. Bringing us into His family, into His body, through His work on the cross and His Spirit. Continues, finishes, and in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then workers of miracles, also having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. And this is just a small list of the various gifts that are found in the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12 has a list. If you go up to the beginning of Romans 12 has a list. If you go up to the beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that we did not read this morning, the first 11 verse have more manifestations, more gifts. There's all kinds of ways that God can use us. Verse 29, are all apostles? Question is, the answer is no. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Do all work miracles? No. Do all have gifts of healing? No. Do all speak in tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. But eagerly desire the greater gifts. There's not one person who has it all. And sometimes we fall into the trap that there are super Christians who are able to do more, so I don't have to do it. Because they can do it. They are much more gifted than I am. Sometimes we just need to understand that God has given each one of us gifts to use for the good of His body. Sometimes there may be some of you who have been so focused on what you can do that you're doing things that you have really no gifting to do, but you're doing it. For some, it's because it's by need. There needs to be somebody filling in the gap. And so you're a servant, and you love Jesus, and you want to see the church do well, and so you're filling in holes because there's a hole there. And it's better even if you're not fully gifted to do it. I thank you for that. But more than anything, we'd love for you not to have to do that, to be in the place that God has called you to and only in that place. And so for those who have been filling in gaps, we would love for you to have to give some of those things up that you aren't fully gifted to do because other people are filling in there. And in every church there are those too that love the way it feels to serve. Actually, rather than serving because they love the Lord, they do it because they love the praise of people or the way that serving makes them feel. And so they get involved in 100,000 things and they're doing things that they're not gifted to do because they just love the rush that comes and the sense of purpose that comes when they're doing something. And if that's you, I would encourage you to figure out what God has for you only and do that, and may it be a flow out of what He has called you to, not what you would like to do. And then there are others of you, and I just want to thank so many of you who have served the Lord for so long. But I know that there are many who are feeling that I'm getting too old to do these things anymore. And let me just encourage you, you may not be able to do what you once were able to do, but that does not mean that you stop doing it. You do it to the measure that you are able to do it. Because sometimes I feel like we live in a world that says if you can't give it 100%, then it's better just to not do it at all because you got to give our best. And realize that sometimes giving your 100% is what 40% used to be. And that's okay. Because if you're only able to do 40% of what you once were able to do, but you're able to do it with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, then you're given 100%. And it's better, even in the age limitations or health limitations or whatever you have, to figure out, Lord, what can I give? How can I serve? What can I still do, even on a limited way, so that I might still be a part of Your body and serve the way You've made me to serve? Because I truly believe that retirement is not in the Scriptures. And if anybody can find retirement in Scripture, let me know. Retirement in the sense, not that you have to go to your 9-to-5 job for the rest of your life until you die at your desk or you die on the factory floor, whatever it is. But just that we never stop working for the kingdom of God because we were created to work. We were created to serve. And so with whatever you have and whatever you're able to give by the power of the Spirit and under the gifts that He's given to you, until it's absolutely impossible to do it any longer, give what you're able to give. Pastor Bill Irving, who's dancing with Jesus today. His daughter, Mimi, shared a story that he was really frustrated. I know in conversation I had with him, he's like, I want to be teaching. I want to be preaching. I want to get out of the nursing home so that I can get back to teaching people the Bible, which he loved to do. And physically, it just wasn't going to ever be possible. And he came to the realization that until the day he died, that the people that he came in contact every single day with, the nurses and the aides and all those people who cared for him, were the people that he was to love and to serve. And those people, he made a lasting impact on, because many of them came to the family and said, many of the people here are angry, they hit us, they bite us, they curse at us, but your dad, he's not like that. He's never been like that. He's always been so kind and so loving and so caring and so gentle, even though he has suffered so much. And I believe Pastor Bill came to the realization that he was serving, even not to the full degree that he would have liked to or wanted to, but he was serving right where he was, the people that were around him. And I believe his life is an example to us that with whatever we have, may it be poured out for the Lord, used for him to whatever degree we can give it. Because we all play a role. We all have a part. With that in mind, before I close, you may have noticed in your bulletin that there's this little sheet just serving opportunities at DAC. And it's an opportunity for you to look through and to just say, Lord, what might you be leading me to be a part of? So that I might serve here as the Lord would lead me to. So there's areas of hospitality. There's areas of teaching. There's areas of youth and children's ministry, of facility care, missions and outreach, visitation, worship ministry. Miscellaneous things like using computer abilities, graphic design, or if there's something that we just hadn't thought of and you thought, oh, I can do this. Is there a need for it? Write other on there. Check other and fill out what that idea is. One of the things I know for sure that we could really use some help in is some of the children's ministry. And one of the things you may say, I'm not really a teacher of children, but I'd love to help. One thing we're looking for is for one Sunday so that we can spread the role out among many. One Sunday, if you're not a teacher, you can just go down one Sunday, put a video in that is going to go along with the lessons that have been taught, and just be there with the kids and supervise. Make some popcorn, and then let them watch that as that lesson for the day. You don't have to be able to open a book and be able to teach. But that's one option, one opportunity. And many, many others that are there. If you have some ideas today, feel free to fill it out. There's a table, black table in the back right next to the sound booth. I just encourage you to lay them on there with your name there so we can contact you and get you involved. But it may be that you take it home this week and just prayerfully seek God. Lord, how would you have me to be involved? If we're part of the body, God has a place for you. And I think that's a great encouragement that God has a place for you to ask him, Lord, where's the place that you have for me? So you are the body of Christ. You're the body of Christ local here in Dorseyville Alliance Church, part of a much bigger body all throughout the world. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord empower you out of encounters with Jesus to serve him for his glory and for the good of his church. Let's pray. Father, thank you for each one, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the way in which you have made us and given us a role to play. Father, whether we're a hand or a foot or an eye or an ear or some other body parts in this local church. Lord, I pray that you would build your church and that you would use us to build it for your glory. Father, I pray for those who may just be seeking, Lord, where do you have me to be? Whether here or someplace else, Lord, I pray you give them great wisdom. Father, for those who have sensed that you're calling them to be part of this local body, Lord, would you give them great direction as to how you would have them to be a part? Lord, thank you that you call us to serve you. I thank you for each one. May you bless them, pour out your Spirit upon them. Lord, give them fresh encounters with Jesus so that we all may become more like him. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Let me just, if I can, amplify a little bit because, well, I was sitting there listening to Mark preach on that. We all think of the hand and the eye and the ear as all separate things. And if you're at all tempted to say, well, I feel like I could do something, but somebody else is doing it better, okay? Let me remind you that there's plenty of duplication in the body. We have two lungs. We have two kidneys. Most of us, not me, have three hamstrings in each of our legs because those are important things. Yeah, I can still move, but I can't move as well as I used to because all three aren't there. So all I do to mention that, if you want to think of it, how well would we be functioning if we only had one lung? Right? So while you're hopefully being led by the Spirit as you contemplate that, where do you fit in? What's your part of the body? Don't rule out the fact that maybe somebody else is doing prayer, somebody else is doing child ministry, somebody else is doing compassion, whatever, teaching. And you say, oh, well, that's already filled. No. God knows and has put in you what your talents are, and he's put you here in this body. So just let yourself be used of God. If you'll rise with me, that's how we're going to finish, singing The Potter's Hand, which is just a song of worship and praise of how to be used of God.
All of my days are held in.
So church, you are the body of Christ, with works that God has prepared in advance for you to do for the glory of His name and for the good of His church. So may the Lord bless you as you seek Him. Not that someone would guilt you into doing anything, but that the Lord would speak so clearly to you, impress so powerfully upon you how He is calling you to serve, that you might serve in joy, that you might serve in response to Him. And may the Lord fill you with His Spirit to empower you to do it for His glory. Go in His peace, and go knowing you are the body of Christ. Go in His name.